Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We had a lot of fun with the Browns schedule last night and breaking everything down. Let's get a little bit more into it as well. Stadium news, where the Browns go from here on out. Let's do it by going out and talking to our very own Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, what's going on?
You really want to get rid of Donovan Mitchell?
No, I don't actually want to get rid of Donovan Mitchell.
Are you out of your mind?
I didn't say I want to get rid of him. I made it very clear.
All I know is my mentions are blowing up, so maybe some things are taken out of context or whatever. But I saw what you promoted for the show, and I kind of understand why my mentions blew up, and you included me in it.
Well, Daryl, you're on the show. We had to put you in.
Listen, well, I understand that, but when you're going to throw a grenade like that, can you keep me out of the line of fire?
Listen, you can ask Jax. I disclaimed several times that I was of the belief that I personally would keep the core four together, but I think that Donovan Mitchell is on the table this offseason, and that they're 100% going to have to consider it.
Of the people to get voted off the island from the core four, he ain't the guy. I got maybe one or two names that I would consider, not him. He's the one. He put up 48 points playing with a calf injury in game two.
And I don't throw away his individual performance. I thought his individual performance was great. I also think that when he tries to take over a whole half of basketball, you don't exactly empower your teammates to also help you, which this year they were.
Well, he kind of had to do that, though, because nobody was doing it. Ty Jerome couldn't throw it into the ocean standing on the beach.
Well, he did in the third quarter.
They shot 26% or something from three-point land for this year. It was ridiculous. They couldn't make shots.
It's far off of not just Donovan. I think that he's part of the equation for sure, though. I think that he's in there.
They got to get some more pit bulls around him. That's what needs to happen. He's a pit bull. I think Strus is a pit bull. I think Evan Mobley can be a pit bull. And then I got to stop there. They got to get some guys to help with the whole toughness thing here. I know they don't want to hear that, but you get bounced three straight years in five games. The toughness thing is a thing now. It's a thing. And you had a chance this year to get rid of that, end that narrative. And you didn't. So that's on you. Be mad at the media all you want, but that's on you. You had a chance to shut us all up about it, and instead you kicked the door wide open, and so you got to swaddle your medicine, and you're going to hear about it all off season.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a conversation that we're having for quite some time. You know, I'd love to see you fired up about your Twitter mentions. This is great.
I don't like checking my mentions. I do not like checking the mentions, but today, I asked for the pain, and I got the pain. And I'm like, why am I? Look, I do enough to anger people. I don't need you angering people and including me. I do that well enough on my own. I mean, I appreciate you trying to contribute there, but, like, you know, come on now.
Listen, people like to react to some words written on the screen. They don't want to listen to it. They don't want to hear the things out of my mouth. That's okay. That's all right. They can listen to the conversation. I think it's on the table. I didn't say
Mission
I wanted
accomplished.
To happen. Well, congrats to them. Daryl, we had a fun day yesterday, okay? We had a ton of fun. The Browns schedule came out. We can all get excited for what I saw at least one sportsbook put in as a 4.5-win season.
Wait, you had fun yesterday?
We talked to nine people in 2 hours across six segments.
Oh, I couldn't have had fun. Okay, all right, fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, it was hectic. The schedule is only so much fun, but it's a fun show to do. It's a good time here.
That's fair.
But I did think that I saw things going both ways, and a lot of the, I thought, fan reaction was negative towards the way that the schedule came out, as if it was something that was brand new, the opponents you were going to be playing, and that it was leading to pure disaster. Like, we knew that. We knew that it was going to be a tough season just based on who was there. I actually liked the way that for the Browns in figuring out what they have at quarterback and not winning football games because they're not going to do that, the schedule actually played out pretty nicely for them.
I mean, it is one of the toughest strength of schedules in the NFL. They certainly did not get a fourth place schedule, even though they're right now a fourth place team. The league didn't do them many favors, no question about that, other than they get to play 13 Sundays at 1 o'clock. The Vikings will have the advantage in London because they will have already been in Europe for a week because they'll play the Steelers the week before in Ireland while, you know, the Browns are going to go out probably in the middle of that week. Not a lot of favors done to the Browns there, and no surprise, zero primetime games. But I personally would like to thank the league office for that, because I don't want to be at the stadium at 3 in the morning with a team that's going to win anywhere from 4 to 7 games.
Yeah, I think that was the overwhelming majority of people's opinions there that are in the media, was just like, hey, 1 o'clock games are good for us, which I agree. I'm not mad about 1 o'clock games, but is there a slight that fans should be feeling being put in that 1 o'clock spot over and over again, or is that exactly what we should have expected?
Your team is not expected to do a lot this fall. Now, there is flex scheduling, so if the Browns surprise some folks and they do have a good season, guess what? You'll get some primetime games. But they're going to have to perform to do that, to earn that flex scheduling. So, no, fans should not feel slighted in the least. I think the NFL told you exactly what they expect from the Cleveland Browns this year with that schedule.
Yeah, I think it was pretty evident. Daryl, I mean, the first few weeks of the season are absolutely brutal. Bengals, Ravens, Packers, Lions, Vikings, who are even the Vikings a toss-up based on what J.J. McCarthy is going to be, directly into the Steelers coming back from London.
Right.
I mean,
that might be 1-5.
It could be. I think I put them at 2-4 after that stretch, and I was very optimistic.
Yeah, that's probably what I would do, too. I'd probably say 2-4. But I'm just saying, like, they very well could be 1-5 coming out of the gate there. I think they'll win two of those games. I have them winning 6 games, this doubling their win total from a year ago. And I say that having absolutely no idea, none whatsoever, what they're going to do at quarterback this year.
Yeah, none of us do. Is that almost...
And how many quarterbacks we're going to get to watch this year? We might get to watch all 4 of those guys this year. It has happened before.
You don't have to look very far back to figure out where it happened. Nope. But Daryl, is any quarterback that steps in week one in that stretch essentially doomed from the start?
No. No. I look at it as an opportunity. Show what you can do.
Would it take you out of the realm of throwing a rookie quarterback out there week one to see, I mean, aside from the Bengals, you're looking at 5 to 6 pretty darn good defenses there.
If he's the best quarterback throughout the offseason and training camp in the preseason, then no. You put him on the field. You put the best player on the field week one. That's what's most important.
Daryl, I'll get you the probably least sexy question about the schedule, but it's actually something that I find very interesting, which is always where the bye falls. I talked to Jeff Hathorn over at 93.7 yesterday during the show, and he told me that coming off of their international game, the Steelers pretty much begged the league office, hey, we don't want our bye after this game. We don't want our bye there, and they ended up getting their bye there. The Browns get the opposite. They get it in week 9.
Yeah.
Is that something where they would have wanted the bye coming back from London, or would they have also, and you think in your mind, preferred it later?
I honestly thought that they were going to get it either before the trip to London or after the trip to London. I'm talking to Jason Weeks, by the way, just to be very specific. Either the week before the London game or the week after the London game. I think the Browns are fine with the bye where it is, because that's smack dab right in the middle of the season there. So remember, last year, They had an early bye, and it was a long 13-game slug to the finish line, right? So I think the fact that they get their bye in week 9, I think that that's perfect for them.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much like when I was talking about it, like probably the week before. Like, do I want to buy week 9 or week 10? It's kind of my sweet spot where it falls, where it's not week 5 where you then have to play a stretch of games, and it's not week 13 where you start with a stretch of games and are begging for a break.
Yeah, so I think it's in a good spot.
Yeah, I would totally agree. Daryl, last thing I'll sort of throw you about the schedule. The Browns schedule video, am I missing something? What was going on? What was happening with the video they put out? Because I didn't understand it all other than, hey, look at the cool things I can do in video editing, and that was about it.
That was exactly my takeaway. So I don't know that I have much to add beyond that. Because same thing, like I was trying to figure the bit out, and whatever, if there was like an inside joke or something there, whatever it was, I will acknowledge. Didn't get it, didn't understand it. The effects were really cool. But if there was like a theme or a story they were trying to tell, it went over my head.
JP threw out a fun one last night, was that it was essentially an homage to Shedeur Sanders in Time, flexing the wristwatch, and that it was the constant, you know, sort of backing up, going back in time and everything else. I don't know that that's true and they love him that much, but it was certainly interesting.
Least surprising thing to come out of Jonathan Peterlin's mouth.
Yeah, that one feels really on brand, doesn't it? Feels really...
Yeah, we're going to have to suffer through this now for at least a couple of years.
They brought him here.
We're going to have to listen to Peterlin for the next couple of years now.
Yeah, there's a pretty good likelihood of that. Daryl, the other fun thing...
My condolences, by the way, to Nick Wilson, because he's the one that has to work with him 5 hours a day.
5 hours a day, not stop. Does not stop. Mics go off for some people. JP's voice does not stop when those mics go off for Nick Wilson. That's on him. Daryl, other fun stuff happening around the Browns. Very interestingly, coming out, we had Roger Goodell in the state of Ohio basically lobbying for the Browns to be able to have their dome in Brook Park. What were the meetings like there, and what was the point of Roger Goodell coming out and actually being there for that process?
Well, that was to get this thing across the finish line with state legislatures. So I think it's not a matter of if, because I think the if is it's happening. It's a matter of how they're going to do it and how they're going to do it in a way that not only helps the Browns, but will also leave room to help the Bengals, the Reds, and all the other pro teams within the state that are going to have either upcoming or future stadium projects. Because, you know, the price tags of these buildings, as well as to maintain them and renovate them, it's skyrocketing. So, and the state has always, contributed in some form or fashion toward those buildings. And so they're trying to do it in a way that doesn't affect the general fund, so you don't have people saying that you're stealing money from the education budget to give to stadiums and the billionaire owners within the state. So that, to me, is what this is all about now, is figuring out the mechanisms to provide the funding for these projects, including $600 million for the Browns and Brook Park. Goodell was there to... He was there along with David Jenkins, who's the chief operating officer for Haslam Sports Group and the team, along with their chief administrative officer. They were down in Columbus to meet with the governor and top-ranking lawmakers to basically sell the project and the benefits of the project. I was told by folks familiar with the contents of the meeting, Super Bowl was brought up. No promises were made, but the commissioner did say that the enclosed stadium would satisfy league requirements to be able to host the game. I think obviously there's some studies and questions that need to be done as to whether or not the region meets the hotel and other requirements the league has for hosting the game. So positive visits, and I think that might have gotten this thing across the finish line. And now it's just a matter of figuring out how the funding will come through for the Browns for this particular project.
Now, we saw also, I think it was today that it came out, the Haslam Sports Group essentially putting out a letter to Chris Ronayne and Cuyahoga yep. County saying that they're going through whether they have the county support or not, and they're going to plan on making the move. Is that significant news in this entire stadium development, or is that basically just an update of something that we already knew that's just now rephrased?
No, I mean, I had heard rumblings that the team was making preparations because of the resistance that Ronayne has given toward the project. He feels that this is a money grab. It's too risky for the county to support this project. And so basically the line that really stands out is the closing line there where the team remains undeterred and is not relying on the county's participation to execute the project. That is a very, very important sentence. And, you know, which is why you asked the question that you did. So that is a new development. I had heard rumblings that the Haslam Sports Group was making preparations to do this project without county participation, but they put it in writing today, basically. So, you know, what I was hearing ended up being true. And as I posted on X earlier today, I am of the belief Brook Park is moving forward, full steam ahead. The enclosed stadium is getting built, and the Cleveland Browns will play football there starting in 2029.
So if they go through without county support, obviously we wouldn't have the exact breakdown of how that looks. But for anybody that was wondering, where does that additional money that they would have been counting on for the county sort of come in?
You know what? I don't want to speculate on that because I want to be fair. I have not gotten clarification on that. I do know that Haslam Sports Group is already in line to handle the cost overruns for the enclosed stadium construction, because let's be honest about it. They deserve an award if they're actually able to build it for $2.4 billion. Tennessee's Dome is over budget. The Buffalo Bills Stadium right now is over budget. All these projects come in over budget. That's just the nature of construction, right? Certainly, they're motivated to keep it, you know, as close to that $2.4 billion as possible, with another $800 million to a billion for the development. The Haslams have promised 70% of that development project will be built and be online when that stadium opens, and then the final 30% will come online depending on how the market responds. So there's no guarantee. Obviously, there's no guarantee that final 30% even gets built. But you know, basically, you've got the Haslams putting up $2 billion of their own money, and if the thing flops, they're also on the hook here. This isn't just a thing where the state, the county, the city are all on the hook for this thing if it flops. The Haslams have significant skin in this game here. I don't know what the specifics of the new breakdown. They were looking for $178 million from the county, and they were hoping that the county would backstop Brook Park's $422 million in bonds. Basically, it's, you know, you buy a car, or so, you know, you get a cosigner. That's basically what they wanted. They wanted the county to cosign those bonds for Brook Park, but they are preparing the financing. My understanding is basically the financing for the project's ready to go, and that they're just the creditors, the financiers, they are waiting for the official word from the state of Ohio that there's going to be a $600 million contribution to this project, and that official word will come in the form of Governor Mike DeWine's signature on the state budget that includes that funding, and then we move full steam ahead now. They will then move forward with closing on the remaining payments for that 176 acres of land bordering Snow and Engel Roads. And then shovels will go in the ground in the first quarter of 2026.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
All car is just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
With an open date of August 2029.
Daryl, as always, appreciate the insight and look forward to keeping up with you as this thing it progresses further and further, and more updates on the schedule and what we're looking at and who's going to be starting. Daryl, you can't wait, right? Can't wait.
I don't think Chris Ronayne is getting invited to the groundbreaking. I'll say that.
I think that's a fair evaluation. Appreciate you as always, Daryl.
You bet, Jake. Have a good night.
You too. Daryl Ryder, our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, with us there, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll talk about what he had to say coming back as well, a little more on the Browns stadium and schedule ahead. I thought Daryl gave really good stuff, and I'm going to get into the primetime stuff here in a second, but I thought it was really good stuff on the stadium and actual developments happening with that letter today, right? It's sort of hard, I think, especially in the general perspective, right, and not just saying the general fan out there, but even me trying to follow along on the stadium stuff and figure out what is news, what isn't news, and what's basically a rewording of already that something that's happened. But from what Daryl told us, actual progress being made with the Browns essentially telling you, hey, county's here, county's not here, we're going through with the project. It's basically telling you that, like it or not, you don't want the Browns moving to Brook Park. You do. There's a pretty good shot at this point that they're going to be making it, the full move over and building the dome. Like, that was, hey, you don't want to support us as the county? That's fine. We're going to go through and do it anyway. We're going to have to actually build this thing, and we're not doubling down and buying into staying on the lakefront in the current position that we're at right now. I thought that was a really good update, and Daryl had some really good stuff on there. Again, Odyssey Rewind feature. It'll be up later on as well at 923thefan.com. You can go back and listen, of course, after the show's over. But the primetime stuff for me, really, guys, I mean, if we're going through and we're talking about primetime games for the Browns, right, one of three teams to not lock in a primetime game this year in the Browns, Titans, Saints. Yeah, the league is exactly telling you what they think that the Browns are capable of doing, which is not a lot. Vegas has went through and essentially locked it in that the Browns are probably not going to do very well this year. Vegas is throwing it at 4.5 wins. Now, season win projections are something that Vegas does get wrong here and there, right? There are mistakes made on that end. They're not perfect, but it's usually a solid indicator. If they're saying 5 wins, which is the lowest total that they have any team at right now, there's a good chance the Browns don't go through and win very many more games than 5. We put them at 7 last night, and I called it an optimistic 7. The Browns should not have expected, nor should the fans have expected, to be locked into a ton of primetime games. Now, maybe I thought there was a chance that you got a Thursday night game, or maybe there was a chance that, you know, they tossed you on one of the odd Sunday, Monday night games, because there are some, you know, bad games that are thrown into those slots. We detailed a couple of them yesterday. Like, I think there's a Cowboys game that's on there that's just not going to be good. It might have been a Giants-Commanders game where you just looked at it and you're like, all right, well, that's not great either. But in real just evaluation of the teams that they put on primetime, there has to be a storyline. There always has to be a storyline in going through and putting good teams on primetime. And the Browns don't have a real storyline to build, not just with any other team in the NBA or in the NFL, excuse me, but really on their own. Other than figuring out who the quarterback's going to be and potentially finding their quarterback of the future, that's not a real storyline for people outside of the city of Cleveland, and we all understand that. I think it's very fitting that you would go through and sort of make that thought process in your head and come to the conclusion that, well, if the Browns were going to do anything and the Browns were going to be a team that you'll see some interest, then that would have been it. The flex, potentially later in the year, is really what you should be focused on, because the only chance that you're getting a flex is that if the Browns rookie quarterback comes in or one of the Browns veterans is surprising and the team actually looks like they're on the upswing. I think if you get a decent year out of Cam Ward, Shador steps in, you'd be looking at that Titans game as a potential Thursday night or even maybe a Sunday or Monday night, although I think they usually reserve those, in my opinion, for the teams that are fighting for playoff position. And Thursday's their sort of throwaway game. But that does feel like a good spot. Shador versus Cam Ward, the conversation that a lot of us had to begin the offseason playing out in real time, would probably be a good spot for them. But the way that it is right now, Browns didn't deserve primetime. Browns didn't deserve to be on national television. 3-14 and not making any massive moves in the draft or the offseason is not going to bring you that. Even the chance of drafting, if you would have drafted Travis Hunter, and I'm not saying they should have, but if you would have gone down that route, maybe you get a primetime game because he's a big enough player with a big enough draw and attention around him that, sure, people are interested in watching Travis Hunter play football. Mason Graham could be the best defensive tackle in the NFL next year. It's still not a guy that people are turning on their TVs to watch. Right? As great as Aaron Donald was, maybe the best defensive tackle that we've seen in the last several decades and potentially all of the NFL, a lot of ways that teams aren't turning on, right? Fans don't turn on to watch Aaron Donald play football when he was in the league. Nobody turned it on to see, oh, is Aaron Donald going to rack up sacks? Even Myles Garrett, defensive players really in general, you don't go through and turn on the TV to watch what they're going to do that season unless they're in the territory of breaking history. That's not what anybody wants to watch. Unfortunately, the Browns have to get better. And the league is telling you that. And I think, honestly, if I was a schedule maker building it out, the Browns probably wouldn't be in primetime either. Now, I think that they're a step above maybe going through it in the Saints. And what that brings, I thought that for sure, if we looked at the Titans were going to end up in one primetime game this year because they had the number one pick and drafted a quarterback. That feels like a basically a gimme to put them into primetime. But the three teams who are not going to perform very well this season are the three teams that don't get a primetime game. It shouldn't come as a shock to anyone. If you're waiting on that and that's what you're basing off of, this should be classic Browns territory. Right? If you want to feel like the underdog and feel like you got to go out there and prove yourself to people and live that Cleveland mentality, well, you've been given the opportunity to live the Cleveland mentality. Be the underdog. Be the one that people always count out. The problem is that realistically, the Browns are a team that are going to be counted out, and they probably should be a team that are going to be counted out. Primetime games don't make sense. You don't want to see a team like that in primetime. It's the same way that you go back 2 years, you probably didn't want to see the Bears in primetime. Nobody wanted to watch the Panthers play a primetime game 2 years ago either. You actually have to go through and do it. Or maybe 3 years ago probably would be a better example for the Panthers. They at least drafted Bryce Young. But it's the same exact thing. You got to go out and earn it. And the Browns are going to have to go out and earn the respect. And I think Kevin Stefanski is going to have to go out and prove, hey, you can win football games. The Browns land on my prediction and end up going 7-10. Maybe end up getting one by the end of the year. You go on a little bit of a run towards those games, towards the Tennessee game, and that stretch where I think it gets a lot easier following the bye. then you actually have a chance. But two bad teams competing is not as interesting as two great teams competing. That's the difference in what you actually have to go through and I think properly evaluate. Part of it's a little bit, you know, of a disrespect thing, but part of it's also just based in reality. 216-474-0092. Let's go out of the phones real quick here and talk to Johnny in Cleveland. What's going on, Johnny?
Jacob, I agree with you. Love the show. Great show tonight. There's no way you just said live on air nobody tunes in to watch defensive players.
Individually, on a national scale, I mean, I don't think entirely, no.
Ray Lewis, remember that time?
I mean, yeah, at that point, and the Ravens were just a really good defense with Ray Lewis in general. But also, the Ravens with Ray Lewis on the team, how many of those years were they competitive in making the playoffs? Just about all of them, no?
Right, but I mean, even you could go on to Patrick Willis, Clay Matthews. I mean, you did tune in to watch them.
I think in the current state of the NFL, and there's more of a obvious, you go back in the mid-2000s where defense is a little bit more prioritized and those guys were able to run free and really hit people. You got more views. Right now, I don't know that there's a ton of people tuning in to watch Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt. I mean, name your guy. Trey Hendrickson was the sacks leader last year. I don't think anybody watched a Bengals game going, and I hope Trey Hendrickson really blows this thing up that wasn't a Bengals fan and fair saw point. That as much watch.
Fair point. What I will say is, I agree. I'm not going to have any care to watch the Browns. I agree with your point. We should not be on any primetime games, and especially if we're going to be 3-14. However, what was your favorite primetime game we've ever had?
I mean, within recent history,
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Snow Bowl was fun last year. Other than that, primetime games have not treated the Browns all that well. And Johnny's gone. I mean, primetime games don't treat the Browns all that well. I'm not thinking of a ton of moments on national television where you go back and you watch it and things played out perfectly. I mean, there was a couple of games against the Jets that played out well within the last few years, but or at least played out as an interesting game. Not a ton that I point to as primetime games in recent future or recent history that I absolutely love. 216-474-0092. Should the Browns have been in primetime as well? The beginning of the schedule to me is an absolute quarterback killer. I'll explain what I mean in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick. I mean, we got to look at the quarterback position. So what we're throwing to you guys are the thoughts of starting a rookie quarterback basically dead after the schedule release, because I think there's a good shot at whoever you start in that spot. It just doesn't end well, right? Me and Daryl sort of came to the conclusion there at 8 o'clock that as you look at the beginning of the schedule, you're 2-4, 1-5, somewhere in that range. And it's not like there's a ton of toss ups. We talked to Jeff Hathorn yesterday and looked at the Steelers schedule. It felt like there were coin flip games left and right for their first six. It was like you could go, you know, or maybe it was her first five, 0-5, 5-0, probably more than likely somewhere in between that. But for the Browns, it really feels like you can land anywhere from 0-6 to 2-4. If you went 3-3, hope would be, I mean, running rampant in this city. Like, you went through that part of your schedule and went 3-3, this team's got a chance to go out and compete. So I think there's a lot better chance of that you go probably 2-4, 1-5 there. Just why is it, you go through and look, like, I don't even think that going out and starting like a Joe Flacco or a Kenny Pickett, well, I don't think starting Kenny Pickett helps you really in any case, but I don't think that even going out and starting Joe, somebody familiar with the offense who we've seen win games, I don't even think in that stretch it helps you out a ton. I mean, I don't know that I'm confident in him to beat, you know, a three of the six teams when it comes to Bengals, Ravens, Packers, Lions, Vikings, Steelers. Like, your real shot there is probably Bengals, Vikings, Steelers. And one of those games will be on their way back from London. That just doesn't feel like a prime spot for any quarterback to have success. And it's why when I go through and I look at rookie quarterbacks, even if you go through and it's, all right, well, Shador's the best quarterback in the room and we established that, or Dylan Gabriel, the best quarterback in the room and we've established that. One, I don't think any of those guys run away with that job, so I don't think anybody's just crazy mad that if you start a veteran at the beginning of the year and then eventually get to that rookie, I don't think you do anything in terms of losing the locker room or anything like that. Where in other spots, that's certainly the case. If you go out and you start Jake Haner over Tyler Shuck, there's probably a chance that people are mad. But if you start Joe Flacco over Shador Sanders, yeah, you probably get that. There's probably a world where you start with the veteran quarterback, you let the people see and see if you can accrue some wins at the beginning, see how the season goes, try to be competitive off the rip. I think a lot of people can see that happening. And even in a locker room, I don't think anybody's mad when Joe Flacco's starting a game. But throwing a rookie quarterback into that fire, it just feels like cruel and unusual punishment. I don't know how you go through and expect any guy to show you what they have when immediately they're tossed into, hey, well, maybe you'll have a decent game offensively against the Cincinnati Bengals because that was a bad defense last year and they tried to improve through the draft, but still not Lockett and Trey Hendrickson. They're still going to be pretty bad, I would imagine, in the secondary. You could find some success. When you followed up Ravens, Packers, Lions, those are defenses that are going to be, I mean, some top tier. Like, you could realistically see a finish where there's three top 10 defenses in that group. And I don't think that you're putting a rookie in a spot to succeed. And I'd actually be very concerned to go through and watch the Browns put a rookie in that spot and expect something positive to happen. It's very important for the Browns to find out what they're doing with the quarterback this year. I think it's also very important that you give either guy, and more than likely probably both of those guys, unless one of them and the first one to go is absolute fireworks, but you give them a chance and a fair shake at it. It's why I sort of picked out, as soon as you get back from week six and take on the Steelers, it feels like a good time to make that switch, and where I would expect the Browns to actually pull the trigger on a rookie quarterback starting for them for the rest of the year. Because I don't know how you get into, you know, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets. That feels like a good time. You know, Jets are a solid defense. Patriots are an okay defense. But it's not like an elite can't handle it. I think you look at those and you think, all right, well, there's a chance we win these games. And there's a chance that our quarterback, you know, plays some solid ones, but also plays some pretty bad defenses in the mix as well. And we get a real fair evaluation of what it's going to be. You have to balance good defense versus bad defenses and actually trying to evaluate what happens. Which also makes the backstretch of the year a little bit difficult because it's a lot of easy defenses. But that first start, I mean, you want to give a guy confidence. You want to give a guy a fighter's chance. I don't think that starting him week one is a fighter's chance for the Browns. You're dooming whoever that is. I honestly think even Joe Flacco and as much love as he has in the city, is probably doomed week one if he comes out and makes those starts against some really good teams. I'm trying to find a spot where I can view it as a positive and I could really find what one of these guys has, but it's not great. If anything, I think this start of the schedule, if you're trying to put guys in good positions and you're trying not to ruin three of the young quarterbacks that you have in your room, it makes it all that more likely in my mind that if you're going to start a veteran quarterback in week one, it probably does end up being Joe. As much as he's the odd man out, and I don't think that when you look at the way that guys were acquired and the order they were acquired, that Joe is probably the easy cut from the team. Right? Not going through and giving up someone you just traded a fifth-round pick for, not one of the guys you just drafted, but of course the guy that you signed to a $3 million contract. All signs would point to Joe being the guy that you sort of push out of the room as an easy let go. With the start of the schedule like that, I mean, maybe you give that as a test to Kenny Pickett and you say you've been in the league for a few years. Here's your opportunity. Go prove it. If you're going to be our franchise quarterback and you're going to turn things around, Sam Darnold won 14 games last year. You're going to have to beat good teams in the AFC North. But throwing a Shedeur Sanders or Dillon Gabriel into that, I mean, that's, I was going to say death by a thousand cuts, but it's more like death by six cuts. And you don't get through six games of those guys playing and probably saying, I want to see a seventh. Go bring me out. Let me see him take on the Dolphins. As much as I do want to see what you have, and as much as I want to see the rookies on the field and try to find that earlier rather than later, there's a time and a place. And the Browns have to strategically pick their spots. Because we've seen this franchise throw guys out way too early and it really come back to bite them and cost them in the long run. I think now more than ever, if you're going to actually give both of your guys the real opportunity, if this isn't just, well, we're getting through the 2025 season and just hoping to get to 2026 and looking to turn that page, then you have to find a way to do it in a proper way, and you have to be able to pick your spots and find that fair mix. In a lot of ways, the schedule shook out in your favor in my eyes to find, you know, a good opportunities to see what that guy has in a fair evaluation. I think it's also, in some ways, not played out your favor on the back half, where you're not going to get to see a great defense probably in the last 6 weeks of the season. There's not a defense there that I think I point to and I say is a good look and a real good evaluation of, all right, well, you've seen him play bad defenses, now play good defenses. Niners probably aren't going to be great this year unless Shanahan works up some magic. Titans, Bears, Bills, Steelers, Bengals, mediocre at best. In any of those spots, I don't think any of them come through and are a real solid challenge. But I do. I want to pick a game to be able to see Shedeur, have the city excited to see Shedeur. And when I told you I picked my spot as week seven yesterday, everything lines up for that to be the prime case. Right? You get the first tough six games out of the way. Coming back from London to play a road game in Pittsburgh feels like a dangerous spot and a spot where a lot of instant reaction is going to come out of playing your rival. You push it back to a home game against Miami in October. Maybe you get some potential cold, too, in the cold. I like that. Like an offense slowing down for that reason. And a bad defense to really give your guys some confidence. And that's what this entire season is about. Like it or not, want the Browns to be competitive. This entire season circles back to, can you find the right guy in the room? And it's going to be the most impactful thing you do. Figure out the run game, assess some of the rookies, see if you can get the defense back to playing like a true top 10 defense in the NFL. Great. All of those things are not going to buy you individual wins. They're not going to push you into a spot to make the playoffs. The solution there is find a quarterback to get it done. And unless you do that, well, 2025 probably is not a success. If you accidentally slip into the playoffs, while it's going to bring a lot of excitement to us, you're probably going to be in Steelers territory. Walking in is a double-digit underdog unless it's one of the rookies that came through and made a massive jump and has leapfrogged themselves into that guy's really good territory and not just, well, that's a rookie quarterback and maybe. So hey, your main goal this year is find the quarterback. Find what's in front of you. Do I have to draft one? I think the schedule played out well for that, but not at the beginning of the year. Go give me Joe. If you want to give me Kenny, sure. My evaluation process starts right around week 7. Until then, I expect an ugly start for the Browns, and I'm not banking on anything early. 216-474-0092. Get a grip. Coming your way here in about 5 minutes as well. Danny Cunningham going to be joining us at 9:20 to talk a little bit more Cavs. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.